children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is a fantasy by Morton Wishengrad entitled The Parable of Reb Yisroel, and features Melchior Ferrer as the narrator and Juano Hernandez as Reb Yisroel.
That morning in question, I happened to be standing outside the heavenly gate. As usual, there was a great throng waiting to be tried by the heavenly tribunal. Some groaned and bit their fingernails, others radiated an aura of confidence. Now, it has been my experience, founded on 462 years of personal observation, that sinners who await the heavenly trial are frequently expectant and self-assured, while righteous men and women invariably tremble at the imminent prospect of judgment. On this particular morning, 120 years ago, I observed two men who had died that very hour and who were now awaiting trial. One had been a wealthy man, the other had been a thief, and both had come for judgment directly from the city of Bialystok. The thief spoke first.
Menachem, before you go in there...
Yes?
I want you to know... Well, it's hard to put into words.
It was nothing.
Oh, no, Menachem. It was a good deal. I was starving. Everyone said I was nothing but a thief, but you sent me food. You and Reb Yisroel. Do you call that nothing?
Well, thank Reb Yisroel. It was his example.
Next case, Menachem Aronson.
Wait, Menachem. I must tell you.
The angel is calling me.
All I want to say, I mean, that
Menachem Aronson at Bialystok.
Menachem, what I'm trying to say, I mean, well... Good luck to you, Menachem Aronson. May you be admitted to paradise.
There is little chance, my friend. On earth, I was a rich man. Not a good man, only a rich man.
Well, good luck, Menachem.
Menachem Aronson, stand before the bar.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you have anything further to say in your own behalf?
No, Your Honor. The record in your hands is correct.
Too bad.
You mean?
The list of your iniquities is very great. They outweigh your good deeds many times. Very many times.
I can't say that I wasn't warned. Back in Bialystok, Reb Yisroel used to speak to me all the time. He used to plead with me.
You will have to leave heaven and go...
I know. Yes, of course. All right, I know the way.
Sinners generally do.
I wonder if you could spare me pen and ink. I want to send a letter to Bialystok and tell Reb Yisroel...
Absolutely that... out of the question.
Oh. Well... All I wanted to tell Reb Yisroel was that I've had a fair trial. Well, thank you very much. That is, thank you.
Menachem!
Menachem Aronson of Bialystok. Hold on.
Oh, I really know the way. You didn't have to follow.
Stop. Don't go any further.
But I was told to...
The order has been countermanded.
What? Oh, Reb Yisroel, thank you. Thank you for interceding for me.
Fiddlesticks. Reb Yisroel, whoever he is, had nothing to do with it. You've been ordered to reappear before the heavenly tribunal. It seems something unusual took place during the trial of your friend the thief.
I hope he hasn't taken sick.
Don't speak nonsense, Menachem. No one gets sick here. Come on. You're going back.
Menachem Aronson, Bialystok.
The same, Your Honor.
A man was starving. You fed him.
I did what Reb Yisroel told me to do. Reb Yisroel is a holy man, a real tzaddik. When after 120 years, he comes to heaven, he will not be an ordinary angel, no. He will take his place among the seraphim.
Menachem Aronson, you are impertinent and presumptuous.
I beg your pardon, but... Reb Yisroel said that a thief is also a human being, and that it was my duty to feed him.
The court will discuss Reb Yisroel on the proper occasion. The court now informs you, Menachem Aronson, that your sentence has been reversed.
Reversed?
Reversed.
But the list of my iniquities, you said...
I did.
You ordered me to leave heaven and go to...
I did.
But the list of my iniquities, you
there
said...
There is no list.
No list?
It's gone.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Don't thank me. Thank your friend, the thief.
Oh?
He stole the list.
Reb Yisroel. Oh, Reb Yisroel. You should know what has happened.
Menachem Aronson of Bialystok, not another word about Reb Yisroel. Not a single word. And be good enough to close the door as you leave. There's a terrible draft. Next case.
A very unusual incident, even for heaven. The judge ordered a thorough investigation, you can be sure, but Menachem Aronson remained in paradise, blessing the name of Reb Yisroel, who had taught many men to love each other. Now, I must tell you that Reb Yisroel became something of a problem, because due to his earthly influence, many irregular things began to take place with alarming frequency within the precincts of the heavenly tribunal. Immediately, there was politics. One party of angels declared that Reb Yisroel was a saint who was surely destined to sit among the seraphim. A second party insisted that he could only take his place in the lesser rank among the ordinary angels. And a third party declared that Reb Yisroel wasn't a saint at all, that he was not even sure of admission to paradise. It became very disturbing. The angels commenced to quarrel. So measures had to be taken.
You're not listening to me. Please let me make my point.
I ask the angels to behave as gentlemen. Phineas.
I didn't say a word.
I didn't ask you. Now listen, all of you. There will be no peace until we send messengers down to Earth and investigate this Reb Yisroel of Minsk.
Bialystok.
Bialystok. Thank you, Abner. We must put him to the test. Determine whether he is qualified to sit among the angels. To say nothing of our superiors, the seraphim. I need two angels for the mission.
I'm willing.
So am I.
Good. Now step closely and listen. We've got to put Reb Yisroel to the test. Now the plan is...
No.
That's test one. Isn't that clear?
Absolutely.
Very good. The second test is... You understand?
Perfectly.
Very good. May you both have a quick passage to Bialystok. I will expect you to report back every fortnight. Good luck.
The heavenly chorus faded into the distance. Phineas Phineas and Abner descended through the atmosphere toward the place where the 53rd meridian intersects the 23rd parallel, or to be more specific, exactly where the synagogue stands in the city of Bialystok. For an angel, I must say that Phineas had a most peculiar disposition. They saw Reb Yisroel and a number of men deep in study, but Phineas insisted on creating a disturbance.
Shh, not so loud. We are studying.
Which one is Reb Yisroel?
Shh, my friend. We spend this hour in silence.
Never mind that. Which one is Reb Yisroel?
If you cannot behave properly, I'm afraid I shall have to ask you to leave.
You over there, are you Reb Yisroel?
Yes, my son. I am Yisroel.
I want to ask you a few questions.
I should be glad to answer, my son. Will you return in an hour?
No, I want my answers now.
Shall I make him go, Reb Yisroel?
No, let him stay. Very well, my son. What are your questions?
The Talmud declares that when a man runs away from honors, honors pursue him. Is that so?
It is so. What is your question?
I have run away from honors, but no honors pursue me. What is the reason, Reb Yisroel?
The reason, my son, is that you keep looking backward.
Now will you little study in peace?
I'm not done. Reb Yisroel, why is it that the pious man is not eager to persuade others to become virtuous, while wicked people always seek companions in wickedness?
Why?
That's my question.
A man of piety walks in light. He is not afraid to walk alone.
Well?
A wicked man walks in darkness. He is anxious for company because it is dark. May we resume our study now?
Not yet. One last question. You pray a good deal, don't you?
I try to.
Have you succeeded through your prayers in bringing it about that the rich should be more generous in their gifts to the poor?
Not altogether, my son. But I have accomplished half my prayer. The poor are willing to accept them.
They laughed while Phineas bit his lip. I might say that it does not pay to antagonize an angel who possesses a peculiar disposition. For Phineas immediately quit the synagogue and spoke to Abner, who had been waiting near the rabbi's house. At once, Abner put on the garments of a beggar, waited until the rabbi returned to his house, and then he knocked on the door.
Yes, my son?
I am a poor man. Give me alms. Alms for the poor man.
Come in, my son. I have no money to give you.
Oh, then you refuse to give charity.
I did not say that, my son. I said only that I have no money. But perhaps I can find something in this chest of drawers. One moment, please.
You're only pretending to look.
Pretending? I'm sure I don't know what's come over people today. Here, take this, and may God go with you.
What is it?
It is a ring. It belongs to my wife. You may have it. Take it, my son, and go in peace.
Good heavens, what has happened here? Yisroel, stick your head out of the book. Look at my chest of drawers.
What is it, my dear?
Yisroel, how can you sit there? The drawers are open, ransacked. There have been burglars.
Hmm?
I said burglars. Look, my ring. It's missing.
Oh, no, my dear. It isn't missing.
But I put it here myself. If it isn't missing, where is it?
A man came. He asked for alms. I had no money, so I gave him your ring.
You did what?
Your ring, my dear. I gave it to him. It is a sin to turn a man away who requests alms.
Yisroel, do you know what you've done? That ring is worth $50.
Ooh, that's a great sum, isn't it, my dear?
Oh, Yisroel, put down that book. I want you to run after that beggar. I want you to run after him this very moment.
Oh, I'm glad I caught up to you. I've got a stitch in my side.
I thought so. Well, I expected it. What do you want?
That ring. My wife says...
Yes, what did your wife say?
She says the ring is worth $50.
Well, what about it?
I came to warn you.
What? What's that? You came to warn me?
Yes, of course. My wife does not lie. If she says the ring is worth $50, we may both believe her. Don't let anyone cheat you.
Cheat? Me?
Yes. When you sell it, make sure you get $50. Don't take anything less than that. Not a single penny.
It became necessary for Phineas and Abner to return to the Heavenly Tribunal and make a preliminary report. The temptation of Rebbe's Royal was not proceeding according to plan. And where there had formerly been three parties of angels, now there were six. Two parties insisted that at Rebbe's Royal's death, he would take his place among the seraphim. Two other parties protested that Rebbe's Royal was worthy only of a place among the ordinary angels. The remaining parties went into separate caucus, and there were sounds of argument, contention, and strife. I must say that for a while, it was difficult to know what heaven was coming to. Phineas and Abner were recalled. In their place, a single angel was sent to Bialystok, a certain Reuben, who was notoriously hot-tempered and ingenious in a nasty sort of way. For Reuben set himself up as a rich man, and then he caused a terrible famine to come to Bialystok.
Yes, Royal, we're foolish to come here. Reuben won't help.
He must, my dear. There's no one left to turn to.
He's a violent man, yes, Royal. Let's go home.
You may go home if you wish, but someone must appeal to him. People are starving.
Please, yes, Royal, come home with me.
No, my dear.
Very well. If you stay, I stay.
Well?
Reuben, my wife and I...
What about it?
People are starving in Bialystok.
So?
Everyone has helped but you.
So?
My son, I am here to ask you for alms.
Good day.
You turn us away.
I do.
Are you human? You can't turn us away. I will not leave, Reuben.
You won't, eh?
Not until you give me something.
Very well, Rebbe Yisroel. Come here. Closer.
Struck him. You really struck him. Oh, yes, Royal.
My son.
Well?
That slap, my son, that was evidently meant for me. Now, what will you give for the poor of the Bialystok?
Reuben stood there, and it was as though he himself had been slapped. And so another chastised angel returned from Bialystok to the Heavenly Tribunal. And for once, there was no bickering, no tumult or contending angelic voices. That was very significant. Even the heavenly choir was silent, and one voice sang.
La, 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 la.
Only one voice. And it was significant also that he sang Reb Yisroel's Sabbath melody, a song without words. There was a hasty consultation. This could never do. Reb Yisroel was influencing heaven. The angels were becoming very solicitous of their observance of heavenly decorum, as though they were ashamed of their past behavior. And suddenly, each heavenly day became transformed. It was like the Sabbath day in Bialystok, only every day a Sabbath day. Phineas would meet Abner.
Good Shabbos, Abner.
And Abner would meet Reuben.
Good Shabbos, Reuben.
And Reuben would meet Menachem of Bialystok.
I bring you regards from Bialystok. Your grandson Jonas has become the best marvel player. They say also that he's a fair scholar.
There was such sweetness, such amiability on all sides, it was unearthly and rather becoming. Still, there was one small group of angels, insignificant in number, really, but quite vocal, who were not convinced that Reb Yisroel could take his place among the seraphim. Among the ordinary angels, yes, without a question. But the seraphim, well, they demanded more evidence. It happened that in Bialystok, Reb Yisroel and the townsmen were observing Yom Kippur, the Holy Day of Atonement. Yisroel and the congregation asked forgiveness for the sins they had committed against one another. And they asked God to forgive them for the sins they had committed against him. I must tell you that even in heaven, when the chant of Kol Nidre rises on the Day of Atonement, there is much solemnity and even tears. So all of us looked down on the congregation of Bialystok, and especially upon Reb Yisroel. We could see everything going on, hear every prayer, observe the actions of every man and woman and child. You must judge of our astonishment when we heard the angry words coming from the mouth of Nachum the tailor. And so we waited for the end of the services, waited for Reb Yisroel to rebuke the tailor.
Nachum, I do not wish to rebuke you. Each man prays to God in his own way, but it is quite wrong.
Wrong to do what, Reb Yisroel?
To scold God.
I thought about it, Reb Yisroel. I'm sorry I was angry against him.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It seemed to me I heard you arguing with God.
I was.
On Yom Kippur.
Is there a better time? I declared to God, you want me to repent of my sins? All right, I repent. But what do I repent?
Yes?
Small sins, very minor things. I said to God, all right. I may have sewed a button with a single thread when I should have used a double thread. I kept leftover cloth, all right. Well, perhaps I ate a meal without first washing my hands and making the benediction. But you, O Lord, you commit great sins. You take babies away from their mothers. You take mothers away from their babies. So, Lord, let's be even. If you forgive me, I'll forgive you.
That was your argument with God?
Are you going to scold me, Reb Yisroel?
Scold you, Nahum? No, I'm not going to scold you. For the things you said with simplicity and with faith. I shan't scold you. Only, Nachum.
Yes, Reb Yisroel?
Nachum, Nachum, my son. Why did you let God off so easily? The things you said were not entirely false. Why did you let him off so easily? Why didn't you press your advantage? Nachum, don't you see? You could have forced him to forgive all of mankind.
I admit, but there wasn't a single member of the heavenly court who uttered a word of protest. And for the remainder of Reb Yisroel's life on earth, there were no disputes among the angels. Many days were left to him, and he lived each one with goodness. And then, when his spirit rose to heaven, there was a sound of singing outside the portals of the heavenly tribunal.
I await my judgment, Your Honor.
Nice to see you, Reb Yisroel.
It was this very hour, this precise minute and second, 109 years ago, that the soul of Reb Yisroel flew straight to heaven and took his place among the seraphim. Not among the ordinary angels, but among the seraphim. I tell you this as a fact.
If you would like a free copy of the script just heard, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we present Rabbi Aaron Ofer of the Hebrew Tabernacle of Washington Heights of New York City. Rabbi Ofer.
The Hebrew language is the mother tongue of the world's religion. Yet, strangely enough, it has no equivalent for the word religion. The reason for this is that Judaism does not regard religion as something separate and apart, but identical with life. For the prophets and the sages of Israel have taught that habit rather than maxim is the essence of the good life. The love of God translated into acts and attitudes of kindness, that is the core of Judaism. It hath been told thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This simple code is deemed the heart of piety, which in Hebrew is termed Hasidut. The religious movement known as Hasidism, which sprang up in the 17th century among the Jews of Eastern Europe, epitomized the faith of Israel in terms of pure piety, as allegorized in the parable of Reb Yisroel. Only to do justly. The thirst for justice knows no bounds in realms human or divine. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper, was the prophet's challenge to the justice of the very creator of the universe. There is something of the prophetic grandeur in Reb Yisroel's comment on the bitterness of a suffering brother. You have let God off too easily. To love mercy. The paramount duty of man on earth is to love his fellow man, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give shelter to the homeless. Every human being is entitled to mercy, even the sinner, the derelict, the outcast. Even a thief is a human being, and it is our duty to help him. And to walk humbly with thy God. Humility is the soul of piety. A man deserves honor only when he flees from honor. No hypocrite can be a chassid. Piety means the readiness to accept abuse and ridicule in the pursuit of charity without flinching or faltering. The slap, my son, was evidently meant for me. Now, what will you give for the poor? Hasidism is the religiosity of the unsophisticated, of the common man. It manifests Emerson's contention that men are better than their theology. In these days of moral inflation, of high-sounding slogans, of unimplemented charters and declarations, we can learn much from the simple, forthright, genuine piety of a living faith, of practice rather than preachment, of deed rather than maxim.
Thank you, Rabbi Ofer. Our script today was Morton Wishengrad's fantasy, The Parable of Reb Yisroel. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Cadams. Cantor David Putterman was the soloist. The narrator was Melchior Ferrer, and Juano Hernandez was featured as Reb Yisroel. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is presented each week at the same time by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you'd like a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.